Out of all the sports teams that exist, certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
Good morning, Cowboys Nation. It is June 1st of 2024, and hell, we've got a show for you today. But yes, as you know, it is the world's team. Not just America's team, the world's team, baby. But I am joined here by my co-host, as usual. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. He is the Welsh Dragon. It's Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, brother?
Yeah, baby. Pinch, punch. First of the month and all that. How's our very own Scottish Claymore doing on this fine Saturday?
I am doing fantastic. Also because of the Dallas Mavericks, perhaps, reaching the NBA Finals, so I am pretty happy. But that's kind of going to lead into the first part of the conversation of this show, and this is where I would say Cowboys Nation is going to get really frustrated, because you had the Texas Rangers win the World Series last year. This year, the Dallas Mavericks have now reached the NBA Finals, and potentially the Dallas Stars are going to reach the NHL Stanley Cup. That now just leaves the Dallas Cowboys sitting there near like 30 years, I would say.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like coming up for 30 years. I think it's like 1995 was the last time.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. So, Mike, tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, look, put it this way. Talking of the Mavs, like, I'm not a big basketball guy. As you know,
I know,
but I have seen what the Mavs are doing, and that play where
Luka Doncic,
and he throws the ball over his shoulder, and then there's the alley oop at the end. He's just like, this seems on fire,
That was early on in the season, but last night he was unbelievable. Like, he threw a three pointer from nearly at the center line, which is crazy, and that was like so early in the game. I think it was like 24 to 18 at the point. But,
and that's like Steph Curry type stuff. Like.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But I should have worn my Luka Doncic jersey tonight, actually, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, just to show my love and support. But anyway, going back to the Cowboys, though, it's been nearly 30 years since we've been to the Super Bowl. I mean, we've had some good highs and we've had some really bad lows in the course of those 30 years. But none of which have reached the promised land yet, which is the Super Bowl. And that's ideally what we should be targeting every single year.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you could take it one step back, if you like, and just like say, can we just get to an NFC championship? I mean, we was one, you know, Dez caught it moment away from reaching the NFC.
That year to me was the year that should have been ours. 2014. Yeah. That was. Yep. That was the year we all went to London, that game, get to see the Cowboys play Jacksonville, which was a fantastic game. That's where we got to meet our good friends from DallasCowboys.com. Get to meet Brian Broaddus, get to meet Dave Hillman, Sharon Gross from Hanging with the Boys, Derek Eagleton, everyone. And sorry if we didn't mention names, but you know who you are, and we love a single one of you guys. But yeah, it's ever since that whole season that we had a great season with DeMarco Murray, Tony Romo, Des Bryant was there.
Zach Martin came into the offensive line.
That's right. And Travis Frederick was in the second season. Our offensive line were on fire. You had Ronald Leary in there at the left guard. We had Tyron Smith that was injury free.
Mackenzie Bernadi.
He had him as well. But we also had Doug Free as well.
Very underrated player.
Very underrated player, I think, personally. I don't think he deserves enough credit. It doesn't get enough credit. I do apologize. But yeah, we can sit here and talk about that Des Caught game as much as we want. The matter of fact is we didn't make it. We could say we cheated out or whatever not, but it's still frustrating the fact that it's now coming off for 30 years since our last NFC Championship game appearance and Super Bowl appearances. It's just we're seeing our fellow teams in the Dallas area, the Texas Rangers, the Dallas Mavericks, the Dallas Stars, all having successful seasons and being very consistent right now. It's been like the past two or three years they've been like on the verge of hitting the finals and stuff like that, and now it's like this year's just been phenomenal for Texas sports. But it's just that one single thing, and that's football for the Cowboys.
I mean, like, you could take it one step further again and you could say look at the Texas Longhorns. They were rocking it in college last year, you know. They were on the verge of going to the Natty. So it's everything around them, but then.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, you would think with how the NHL there, but the NFL format is. Obviously, when it comes to, if you were the worst team the year before, you have better opportunity to kind of rebalance the team to be more competitive. But we've always kind of been that stumbling block. We're always 17th and 18th and whatever, and that we just can't seem to have to get into that final pole position reference. I'm just throwing that F1 reference there, sorry. But
I like it.
We're trying to get that pole position here, and we're just coming up short, especially in the past couple of years. That game against Green Bay last year, that's... less we say about that game, the better.
Yeah, and here's the bit. This is, I think, maybe why the frustration in the fan. It's okay. Look, people will blame Dak and Mike McCarthy, but this is a giant gorilla that's on the back of the Dallas Cowboys long before these boys. This is what's stuck on them before that. Right.
Yeah.
And with each year that month, when they get to the playoffs and they might win the wild card, you know, they'll get to the divisional and then it'll flum. That monkey, that gorilla gets just a little bit bigger and it gets a little bit tougher, and it is tough for them. And I think that the frustration though for the fans is that if you think last year and the year before, you know, we're talking about 2014 when they had like their best shot, their biggest chance. I think the last 2 years, the window for the Cowboys to get to a Super Bowl or at least get to the NFC Championship game and be competitive, that was their window. This season now, you think they've lost rotational pass rushers, which were important. They've lost parts of their offensive line, Tyron Smith. Zach Martin's a little bit older. You know, you've got other, you know, there was parts like, say, with Michael Gallup, where healthy Michael Gallup, pre-ACL Michael Gallup was good. So there's all these moving parts. Zeke got old and left the team. Okay, he's back, but he's old. There's tread on the tire, there's worn away. So this window now has just gotten smaller and smaller. And this season now, you're kind of like going, well, has the window closed? Do the Cowboys need to do? And that's, I think, why Cowboys fans are so vocal on the monkey that's on the Cowboys' back.
Yeah, and with the whole off season well. I'll ask you this, mate. With the whole off season and the draft, does every Cowboys fan have the right to be upset right now?
So you lose rotational pass rushers. You lose what was once the crown jewel of your offensive line with Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
You have questions on Dak. Like, look, he's easily a top 10 quarterback, but we're talking now issues with his contract. Like, is what Dak, what he offers you, worth $60 million a year, you know? So there's a lot of frustration. Plus then people, you go, okay, maybe the draft will give us some optimism, some hope. You draft Tyler Guyton. I agree with you. I'm more optimistic about the draft than, say, the consensus, yeah? As I know you are. You are the same. When you look at Nealon, BB, even Guyton, you look at these passes.
I'm really happy with our first-round draft picks. Really happy with them.
I give that an A grade for those two.
Like, I can understand why we haven't brought players in, because of the cap, because of Dak's contract. But that's not on Dak's fault. It's not on the agent's fault. He got the best deal out of his player. It all falls back down to the front office, sadly. Because we had opportunities to get deals done previously before. Never worked out. We end up paying more down than we should have, and it's now came back to bite us in the butt. We had the same situation with former players before. It seemed to be a forever circle, rotation of the same stuff happening over. And we're seeing teams like our biggest rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, who were in turmoil at one point with the whole Carson Wentz contract. Now, all of a sudden, they can start getting players like AJ Brown, et cetera, et cetera. Like, still good players. Don't get me wrong. Are they still going to be a threat to the Dallas Cowboys this year? 100%. Do I still feel confident in the Cowboys? We can still cause a threat to win our NFC East division? Absolutely. You got to be. But this, I don't see, but the thing is, it's the activity thing. And then again, not all activity. You could bring in as many players you want, but the guarantee is not every one of those players are going to be a home run. It's the same with the draft. Not every player that you draft is going to be a home run.
Yeah. No, I agree. So the other side of this, and you kind of just hit it right, Paul, is you look at what the Cowboys did in the offseason and you say, is the team better this year than last year? And you would say, in some parts, yes. In other parts, no. You know, they declined in some parts. Then you look at the rest of the NFC East and you say, have these teams got better? And you say, the Eagles, I would say they've got better. Their secondary needed an overhaul. They've done that. Did the Giants get better in the offseason? Yeah, I'd say they've closed the gap. I'm not saying that they're a threat to the Cowboys just yet. Then the Cowboys aren't going to be scratching around with the Giants in the third and second spot. But they closed the gap.
I would say from becoming maybe a 3 and 14 team, they might become a 6 and 11 team. That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And the Giants close the gap. And then you've got Washington, they're still doing whatever they're doing. So, that's just the way I see it,
Yeah. But guys, let us know in the comments what you think so far about this. Obviously, we're going to be talking about OTAs is happened yesterday. And there's actually quite a fair bit to cover, actually. But before we do that, we'll just have a big shout out from our sponsor.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience. The ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, so be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com. Be sure to get in contact with Barry or Michael and tell them that the World's Team sent you their way.
They do treat you like royalty, mate. They treat you like royalty.
absolutely. But yeah, OTAs. So a few things have happened. So hit me with it, Mike. What is the first point of OTAs you want to discuss about?
Okay. I mean, like, there's, as we always say, Paul, me and you, we're both of the same thing of that. OTAs, they're a bit of install. It's trying to find out what you've got, and that's
it's an experimentation process. That's why I think.
Yeah, I agree. So you have to take a lot of what you see with a pinch of salt. Like some things, you can be like, okay.
Yeah, well, the experimentation process, but also if you've got new coaches in the building, then it's to build relationships. So
Yeah. But I mean, like the first thing that really caught everyone's attention, which has been talked about quite a bit, is our little guy, if you want to call him that, Deuce Vaughan, actually playing as wide receiver and catching passes. I mean, what do you think of this, first of all, Paul?
I like it. I like the fact he's getting a bit more variety and a bit more opportunity. Not so much as the running back position, but do we know that Deuce Vaughan, he is quite the undersized type of running back you would expect to see in the NFL. Yeah. I still think he can still be a part of this team and still deliver his points and get his moving the chains 100%. But he's doing anything and willing to do anything to actually do that. So having him featured as that could be your extra wide receiver there. Like, even though we might have six wide receivers, as we may have discussed on the UK Cowboys show on Thursday, that could be like an extra option. We might not necessarily need to take as like seven actual wide receivers or something like that. You could still utilize Deuce Vaughan, still have him as your running back, but you can still play him as a wide receiver. And have him on the slot. So I like the idea. I like the flexibility when you're utilizing your skill with it, your skill players like that. I'm not so keen on it when it comes to your core players, like your offensive line. I'm not so much keen on that perspective, but your skill players, absolutely. Because that keeps defenses more on the back foot and thinking your next move. So I'm quite in favor of that.
No, I'm totally with you. Like, find out what's there. Do you know what I mean? Like, tinker around with it. If you find that there's something there, put it into your install period, have another tinker around with it, and find out if there's genuinely something there that you can use.
Absolutely.
And you know, like for a guy like, say, the Cowboys are quite lucky in the sense that they already have Kevontae Turpin, who's an undersized type of receiver. So you can almost mirror what you're doing with the two slightly, just alter it a little bit to make it work for both.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned Turpin there, because Deuce Vaughan has been given the role that he is the backup to Turpin in terms of the punt return as well. So he's been getting snaps on punt returns during OTAs as well. So again, it's just building more opportunity for him to be on more in the field this year, whether it's in special teams or offense. It's good for Vaughan, and I'm excited for him. I'm really intrigued to see how that would plan out in terms of training camp and on to the preseason games.
Yeah, you just hope that it does go all the way through, because he is the feel-good story of last year's draft, and you don't want to see that go to waste, because there is genuinely something there with Vaughan. And like you say, with the special teams thing, with the new kickoff rules, even Fossil has turned around and said, he came outright and said, look, we want to, under the new rules, have certain situations on kickoffs where we're going to have two returners back there. Well, two returners, we want to know Turpin's one of them. Well, with the way Turpin was returning kicks last year, if there's two back there, you're going to take the lesser of two evils and go, well, let's not kick it to Turpin because he was number one last year in average kickoff return yards. Let's go the other way. So now all of a sudden, Deuce Vaughan is finding a way to get the ball in his hands and flash.
Like, this may be a crazy scenario, but it wouldn't surprise me if they might utilize one of the first string linebackers or cornerbacks as the secondary catcher, but he'll be more utilized as a fullback scenario and punt return. Think of it from that, like he would lead the charge with the actual ball returner behind to pave the way, essentially. That could be something as well. I mean, that might give the opportunity for, like, say, Eric Scott Jr., etc., like something else to be involved with rather than being just kind of this. Being like jamming up the return team. The kickoffs team or the punt team, whatever. So But I want to move on from this one now. This is a bit of a... we talked about frustration early on when it comes to the Cowboys in general with not making it in the 30 years. But, and this is in relation to OTAs right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's the fact our star defensive player, Micah Parsons, is still not in the building at the moment. To me, it's a concern. Because it's what I said literally 2 minutes ago. It's building a relationship with your new coaches.
There you go.
I'm somewhat concerned about it. If I'm like, well, I shouldn't be concerned, but I would rather he was there. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking it's end of the world. I just like, I would like it from Parsons to actually get in the building a bit early, just to kind of understand what Mike Zimmer's philosophy and how he can actually translate his skill set to be the best version of himself so early on, so therefore he can be more effective during training camp, etc., like going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you said it best. I mean, like, we'll talk about Lamb in a moment, but I think Lamb is a separate issue altogether. Like, with Parsons, like you say, not only have you lost a lot of parts of your defensive line that left, You that means you've got these younger guys that are looking up to you to be a voice, to be somebody that they can look upon and lean on, to be that leader. There's also the new coach. And don't forget as well, there's a new assistant defensive line coach in Greg Ellis. So you've got these new coaching staff there. And Greg Ellis is a guy you're going to be directly working with. He's not there. And, like, I think for most people, they will say, oh, it's only OTAs. It's not mandatory. You know, he's doing other stuff. But, well, here's the problem. What people see is it's the optics. It's that he's not there. There's a new coaching staff. There's a new defensive coordinator there. But he's got time to do his podcast. He's got time to be in Japan doing the runaround.
He had time to be at the game the other night there for the Mavericks. Got his jersey signed by Dirk Nowitzki.
Exactly. He's got time to get a signature and watch a game, but he hasn't got time to be with the team. So then what that does is that frustrates fans, and I'm sure it's frustrating guys, which clearly it is from when he got asked the question. Yeah. Well, he got asked that, and you could see the frustration on his face. And, like, basically what you're hoping for is, like, people will look back and say, well, Trayvon Diggs didn't attend OTAs. You're quite right, okay? That was last year. But although he didn't participate in OTAs, he was still at least there on the sideline, so that his presence is there, his voice, and, like, for players to come over and talk to
him. That's all we're needing. Like, Parsons might not necessarily to take part, but just having them being there to like get to know his new teammates, the rookies, essentially.
Yeah.
Like get to meet Neyland, for example, like who's probably going to be working quite closely with him. So, and Marist, the linebacker from Notre Dame, which is drafted. Like, try and build that communication. Like, it's like, okay, so I want to know where your head's at, so we can, when I'm on the field for the first time with you, we're not going to be all over the place. Like, just, it's like, try and build that connection straight off the bat.
And it's not just the rookies, Paul. It's like, think about these guys now that have been thrust into a large role. Sam Williams, you know, you've got rotational Tyrus Wheat, you know. These guys who are all... backup players or rotational players last year down the depth chart have moved up all of a sudden. These are guys he's going to be working with. We've always said this about defensive and offensive line, Paul. It's about chemistry and cohesion. If you're not around, you're having neither.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final point I want to talk about OTAs is, obviously, you just mentioned them 2 minutes ago, is CeeDee Lamb. I mean, I'm not as worried about Lamb in comparison to Michael Parsons, because we are seeing CeeDee Lamb working with Dak in the offseason. That, to me, is a good sign. So, I mean, he is putting in the work. Where and can put some, and again, I'm not trying to hate on Parsons. I love Micah Parsons, but and we kind of briefly talked about this again on Thursday's show for the world for the UK Cowboys, is taking trips to Japan and wrestling with sumo wrestlers. If you were to get injured, then that's on you. Like, it's like, it can be like, I'm just,
it's not football related.
Yeah, but if anything, I'm not concerned. I'm just very cautious. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just cautious to what example it's kind of doing, like, and how other players are going to react to it. Like,
you know, like, we was just talking now, defensive line, about chemistry, cohesion. So Micah Parsons isn't around. There's all these new parts, new players. Right. What's your chemistry? What's your cohesion with these guys? Dak and Lamb already have that. They don't need to work on it. That already exists, as proof last season when he led the league in receptions.
I know, and Parsons has stated he wants to be the leader of the team. If you want to be the leader of the team, you need to be there. That's it's that simple. It's like, we're not trying to hate on you, man. We're just saying, it's like, it's just common sense. That's all.
Yeah.
Right? And we hope that you're there ASAP so you can get to know your new coaches, get to sit down with Mike Zimmer, get to meet Greg Ellis and stuff like that, and really understand what type of the formation the defense is going to run, where is your role going to play for this upcoming season, so you're mentally prepared and you know exactly what you're going to do, and far, like, with plenty of time ahead going into mini camp and training camp, etc., and going into the season ahead for the 2024 season.
Yeah, I agree. The only other one I wanted to mention, which had just popped into my head, was people talking about Luke Schoonmaker not being available because he's had the hamstring injury. People are saying, oh, look, what a bust. The guy's injured again. Last season, rookie season, didn't make OTAs because of the broken foot. But ironically, he's injured his hamstring, but he's had shoulder surgery. So he's never going to participate in OTAs anyway. So it's like, just relax. Calm down. I get it. He's busted his hamstring. This isn't good. Soft tissue injury. But he wasn't going to participate in OTAs anyway. So just ease back a little bit. I'm not defending Luke Schoonmaker, you know, as to the consensus, how they feel about him as a player from last season production. I'm just like, but I will call a spade when I see it. And it's like, he's had shoulder surgery. Let him get through that first.
I'm not overly concerned about Schoonmaker, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like,
nah, I'm not.
I mean, obviously, we did draft quite high for him, stuff like that. Yeah, the jury is still going to be out for him, right? But the way I'm kind of seeing it, Jay Ferguson's our tight end number one, and Schoonmaker will be number two. So I'm not particularly worried in that front. Well, I think of all of our positional groups, tight end is probably our most solid, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
On offense, definitely.
On offense, 100%.
Yeah.
But on other news on OTAs, and I'll end it with a positive note, Brandon Cooks has been getting some reps. He's been getting the deep ball. So reports from Todd Archer from ESPN has stated, saying that Brandon Cooks has been running the deep ball and he's still got speed in his legs, considering how old he is right now. So that is a great sign. And we were talking about that a couple of days ago. We were kind of questioning, is age now becoming a factor? So far, so good. It's not seemed to be the case. Brandon Cook seems to be looking really in good shape. His speed's still there. He's catching the deep balls. He's setting a good example. So I'm looking very positive to Brandon Cooks this year.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about aged, well, any player, you know, that goes into their early 30s, you know, 31 and beyond, you kind of like say, okay, apart from quarterbacks seem to go on, and kickers go on, and punters go on forever. But with Brandon Cooks playing the position he has, if you go back and you check through the history of what he's had, he's 31, but he's had a clean injury history, a medical history is fantastic. And that goes a long way when you play in at the age of 31.
Absolutely. And people need to remember, this is probably last year's probably his lowest statistic year because of how much he's obviously put down to how much he's been featured last year. But prior to that, Brandon Cooks has had probably the most successful NFL seasons with so many 1,000-yard seasons in his career with multiple teams. And before anyone says, it's like, oh, why was Brandon Cooks traded so much? It's because of when you really think about it, would you, like, if you're in teams like Houston or Saints and salary cap hell, and you're willing to get a lot of trade capital from Brandon Cooks, you're going to take it. That's pretty much the reason why, because there's no way that he was going to get a brand new contract with those teams at that time, because it would have put them in more turmoil, essentially, in the long run. Kind of much what we are with the whole Dak Prescott contract. Like, now, they would have to add voidable years for Cooks or whatever, and that way back, like, 6-7 years ago, whether it was with the Saints or the Texans, or was it the Rams he played for as well? The Rams?
I believe
that's the main three teams and the Patriots. Yeah. So I think that's the four teams I've mentioned. So, and the Cowboys, this is fifth team this year. But every team,
quite a few.
So five teams, but he's been traded. So four times he's been traded. So, and he's not been a free agent. Never.
No. I think what is not talked about with Brandon Cooks as well is that he's a handy guy to have around while you've got guys like Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, Jalen Cropper, a lot of Jalen's there. You know, all these, you know, even the rookie Ryan Flowney. When you think that what Cooks is actually doing is he's allowing these guys time to come to fruition, to ferment and get better as a wide receiver. So while he's around doing his thing, the rest of your down roster guys are all developing and getting better.
Absolutely. Like, and this is a bit, I'm going to ask you a question here, Mike. Yes. Do you kind of feel like the Cowboys, as the way how things are right now, is kind of more falling to the Bill Belichick philosophy by the next man up? Because when you think about it, Bill Belichick didn't really do big hits in terms of the draft or free agents and stuff like that. He always kind of went from the next guy down with backups and like bringing them up to the next level, essentially. Do you think that might be the case, what the Cowboys are kind of looking to do now? Like, forget salary cap and that.
No, I mean, development of your own players is always the best way to go. I think it's not just them. I'm trying to think, who's another good team that really does? Minnesota is another good example.
Oh, yeah. Mike Zimmer. There you go.
Yeah. You know, these are good teams that will take these down roster guys, develop them and continue. And then you see these guys flash in year three and year four and then getting another contract with that same team. And because they're able to do that, you're able to offer, you're able to get in there really with a contract. You can get them in. You can keep them in the building. They'll give you that. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, the sort of the home team discount for sticking around and being able to stay in the same team, employed in that same area in the same city. So that's the way to do it. You know, it's a fantastic way to do it, and it is the most sensible and logical way, rather than going the other way, which is what Washington have done. And just drag every single possible player out there and try and bring them into the building and hope, you know, you throw enough at the wall, something will stick.
Yeah. Okay, folks, so this is now the section where we're going to dive into the mailbag for this week. And our question from the mailbag this week comes from Craig Sykes, who is asking us, who is your surprise cut candidates for the Dallas Cowboys this year?
Right. I mean, I've got mine. Give me your, do you want to have time to think about it, or have you got yours?
I'm still kind of thinking about mine, if I'm being honest.
Okay, I'll give you mine. I think a surprise candidate, purely on the basis that as soon as people hear this, they go, what? No way. Is Chauncey Golston. And the reason that I say that is because you look at the body type, that he's like 260-ish, 270 pound. That's not a three tech. He's built more like a defensive end, but the issue with Golston is that he's spent his entire time at Dallas going from the wide nine all the way through to nose tackle. He's never really been given a defined position. And for Mike Zimmer, that doesn't work for him.
No. Like, if we were to have another Tyron Crawford in the team, it still wouldn't have worked out. Like, that's the best way. That's the best way to compare what we're kind of utilizing Chauncey Golston right now. I mean, that's a fair bit. In terms of my surprise cut, I think it could be, again, I think it could be someone on defense, but I might actually go and say offense, actually, and I might actually go.
Can't do it, baby.
Yeah, you know what? I could be, it might be come as a surprise, but it could be Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's one that's crossed my mind, purely of the money factor.
Do I see it happening? No. He's too valuable. Yeah. He's too valuable to the team right now. But then again, it could be Jalen Tolbert. He could be a surprise cut.
And the other one on offense I think about, there's two. Peyton Hendershot is one of them.
He
struggled.
That's a good suggestion there, because we did get that guy, undrafted guy who could actually make some backup.
John Stevens. That's the one. Yeah.
That's the one.
Like, he would probably have made the team last year if he wasn't injured.
Mm.
And the other one I was thinking about, you know, Paul, Cooper Rush. And I don't think Kat.
I would not be surprised with that. Like, I would say I don't even know if it'll be a trade, but in terms of just like, kind of, it wouldn't be a cap issue, it'd just be more of a space issue if that's the case. If they have the
pick,
like they may want to have an extra, I don't know, extra
offensive lineman,
linebacker or whatever,
somewhere
in depth that needs more numbers, essentially.
Yeah,
that could be like, do we really need three quarterbacks in the roster? Because we kind of know that. Trey Lance is going to be number two essential, the way how things have been talked about, in terms of how reps wise are kind of being distributed right now,
being pushed that way. Yeah,
it's being pushed to get more first team snaps and work more closely with Dak to learn from him right now, and
which
I'm happy for, because the reason I think this is, and I know a lot of people were not happy about the Trey Lance trade way back last year, or last season, sorry, is why did we draft? I know you weren't. I know that for a fact. but the reason I think about it is, if Dak was to go down, Cooper Rush is not like a replica version of Dak Prescott in terms of physicality, size, and speed. Trey Lance can have those same attributes. It's just a matter of getting him up to headspace, like get his mind right and actually being up to getting himself up to that same level. The physical attributes are there, the speed, the size, like probably roughly about the same arm strength, depending. I don't know, but it's just up here, more or less, up in the head.
Between the ears.
Yeah, so I think like if that was like, and touch wood, that hope this never happens. If that was to go down, then at least you don't have to deviate from your game plan. That's where my head's at with that.
Yeah, I'm with you. You have to change a lot more with Cooper Rush than the other way around. I think the only way Cooper Rush stays is if the Cowboys want to keep pursuing, you know, the rule on the QB3 on game day. I think that's the only way Cooper Rush gets to keep his job. If they decide, however, that they don't really need to worry about that, they're going to move on from worrying about the QB3 position. And they, like you say, they want to add depth at another position that they're concerned about. Cooper Rush is the ideal guy to ship off. I don't think they'll cut him. They will look for a trade.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I think it's time for your segment this week.
Woo! Yes, it is. Would you rather? So get involved. Guys, obviously, always make sure to put your comments in wherever you're watching or listening on this. But would you rather...
Yep. I was just going to say, either comment on our YouTube, let us know on social media what you guys think. But Mike, hit me with it. With this week's Would You Rather?
Would you rather? All right, on this, on offense, would you rather Tyron Smith in his prime? So we've got him back. We're not worried about the only playing 10 games in a season. He's playing all 17 games at Tyron Smith level. Or would you like Zeke back in his prime? Both positions of need here.
My answer is very straightforward. Tyron Smith, 100%. 100%. As much as I love Ezekiel Elliott, he's still one of my favorite players, but the importance of having a top offensive lineman to help create those gaps for your running back. It's like, you could still have a rotational running back and still make some good plays. Maybe not as be as elusive as Ezekiel Elliott, but when it comes to the pass protection side, is more key important for me. So I would rather have a fully fit 17 game a season plus Tyron Smith at the peak of his career. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, like I said it earlier in the show, that Tyron Smith, when he was around, he was the crown jewel of the revamped Dallas Cowboys offensive line. And that is how I see it.
He was phase one. Phase two was Travis Frederick. Phase three was Zach Martin. And the other two remaining players of Ronald Leary and Doug Free just managed to elevate themselves up with having those three players around them. And from the 2014 to 2016, we had the best offensive line I've ever seen since the days of the 90s.
With depth as well.
Yeah, exactly. We had Big Mac in there as well, a good friend.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about Doug Free, and, you know, I always stick up for Doug Free because I'm like, listen, guys, you see him in a bad light because he was the worst part of the offensive line. But bearing in mind, he was surrounded by three Pro Bowl / All Pro offensive linemen. So it's not that he was bad. It was just that the rest of the guys, the other guys, were just way, way better.
Like I said, I didn't think Doug Free was that bad. I thought he actually did a great job, and he was protecting the right side for Dak Prescott. Like
Tony Romo as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Tony Romo, yeah. So I saw you're right. Mostly Tony Romo. I think he only protected him for that one season, 2016, and that was it.
Yeah.
I believe.
I could be wrong
on that one, but I'll need to double check that. But it was mostly Tony Romo.
Mostly Tony Romo, yeah. And I can always remember Tony Romo, he made a comment to Doug Free, and he always said to him, listen, don't, if you're over there and you get beat, don't hold, because don't worry, I'll see them coming.
Yeah, clearly, J.J. Watt experienced that wrath.
Yeah, on the other way, he didn't even see him coming. That's still one of the craziest plays. Still one of the craziest plays.
It was a touchdown to Terrence Williams, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the dying seconds of the game.
Crazy, absolutely crazy. Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that, Chris. I think JJ Watt was actually what Chris, obviously, he's a co-owner or something, like I think Burnley or something, the soccer team based in the UK. I think it's Burnley, it's basically, he's got shares or ownership of one of the teams in the Championship or Premier League. I can't remember, but he sat down with likes of Gary Neb or something like that, and they talked about him, but this place, like, what happened? No, it was actually, I stand corrected. It was actually Tony Romo and JJ Watt sitting together.
I've seen that.
Yeah, watching the video together and explaining what they were thinking in their heads. JJ Watt was thinking, I've got him right here. And he says, like, how the hell did you get away from that? It's like, I don't know. Mm. I just literally tilted my head ever so slightly, and my whole body just decided to rotate instantly in the other direction, and then I just decided to throw the pass, essentially. And I was like, oh, wow, that's just nuts.
Crazy. It was wild to watch at the time. You're just like, whoa.
I could not believe it. But
anyway, this is at a time when Tony Romo was as fragile as Venetian glass.
I know. But anyway, folks, that is this week's episode of The World's Team. Be sure to hit that like button. Give us a like on Twitter, Instagram, you know the drill. Be sure to hit that subscribe button here on YouTube, and you can also check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. But with that being said, Mike, give us a little goodbye, will you?
Yes, that's right. It's not just America's team. What is it, Paul?
It's the world's team, baby. See y'all next week.
You've been listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.